Father, we thank you that in a name is character, integrity, who we are. It's how you name the patriarchs of old. Their name signified of who they would become. Today it's a little different when you do it differently. But Father, in the Word, which is forever settled in heaven, your covenant names are who you are and what your promises to us to be. So Lord, will it be clear today, I pray, that you would use me as just a vessel to convey this truth, that I would not put any of my own influence upon it, but that Holy Spirit, you would have the words to speak, and that they would have ears to hear what the Spirit hath to say to the church in regards to your precious, wonderful, inspired, and holy word. Amen. So let's look at his covenant names that he reveals himself to us in this scripture so that we know who God is and what his promises to us are. He reveals himself more personally to us through his names than in any other place. These names are going to help us address God in prayer. If there are certain aspects of God that you have need of and want his attention for, then it's very helpful to address him and just simply say, but you said in your word. It's nice to pray that way, isn't it? God, you said. Therefore, I receive what you said because you don't lie. We want to address him with appropriate wisdom and appropriate reverence. And there's nothing worse than somebody coming up to you and saying, hey, how you doing, John, when your name is Scott? Kind of tells you that he really doesn't know you, but he was just trying. God doesn't want us just trying. He wants us to buy into this. He wants us to live it. Because the world is out there that doesn't know God. And when they see his disciples walking around exemplifying God for who he really is, they will be drawn. Right. You will draw people unto God through your lifestyle if it's a lifestyle that is recreated in the image of Christ and is demonstrated by your obedience to the very thing he says you are. So we address him with the appropriate reverence. He's our Father. That alone tells you that he likes to hear from his children. He welcomes our love, our thanksgiving, and our worship, just as we did today. You know that he's pleased with that. They're doing it in heaven even as we speak. But to really know him is to be overcome with who he is, and then out of that explosion within our heart to worship and love him.
Father,
because true worship comes from really knowing who he is, and when you begin to think about his attributes and what his promises to us are, and all that encompasses that, there can't be anything but a response of awe and worship and just saying, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. That's why thanksgiving is so important in the Bible. He says, always give thanks, always give thanks, always. We should always give thanks because his blessings are overwhelming. Yes. Our cups should be runneth over, according to King James, runneth over. Our cup should just keep being poured over with just saying, God, how could I possibly thank you any more than I already have? There's no words in my vocabulary. I mean, God, you're just so awesome. And yeah, you can walk around and have pain and hurt and do all this in this physical body and having all that stuff because you know what? You're not home yet and it's not your inheritance and you haven't received it all yet. This is just here now to relate to this world. So yeah, let's do our best to take care of it because it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. But let's remember that we're spiritual beings first and foremost. Because that's the part that will live forever. Praise God, these things are not going to live forever. Okay? So let's look at these names and get excited about what they mean. Each of the following Old Testament names tells us something wonderful about God Almighty that enhances our worship. This, and understanding this today, will help you to worship him better as you call out his name and you worship him for who he is. He is called Jehovah Rohi. Jehovah is self-existing Lord, eternal, changeless, faithful. Self-existing Lord. He exists himself. He's always been, he always will be. He has had no beginning, he's had no end. And like I told you before, you'll never wrap your brain about that. Because you were born in a moment of time. You have a beginning, but you will have no end. And that's hard to fathom. But God is outside of time and has had no beginning or end. He's self-existing. He didn't need any help. He didn't need any advice. He can never be wrong. He's the all in all. He's perfect. He's everything that you could possibly think of and multiply it by a billion. He is Jehovah, self-existing Lord, eternal, changeless, and faithful. That's what Jehovah means. He's eternal, he's changeless, and he's always faithful. And then he says, not only that, but I'm adding to that. Not only am I eternally changeless and faithful, but I'm called Jehovah Rohi. And he reveals himself that way to us so that we know who he is in the scriptures. And that means the Lord my shepherd. The Lord my shepherd. What does that mean to you? What's a shepherd? In Psalm 23, David chose to celebrate God, for he thought to himself, just as I've been shepherding these sheep, and I've cared for them, and watched out for them, and protected them from danger, Jehovah has done all that for me. The Lord is my shepherd. That is where it comes from. And he's no respecter of persons, as I told you before. The same God that is the God of David is the God of New Testament Christian Fellowship and all of you. The Lord's your shepherd. He's going to protect you. He knows your every thought and every step. He is outside of time, so he goes before you, he's after you, and he's right there with you. And what you may seem to think is really, really bad in an awful situation, God's very aware of it. He'll carry you sometimes. He'll lead you sometimes. He'll drag you sometimes. That was the joke. The rut that was between the footsteps, a big rut down in there. And the guy said, look, I thought these were footsteps. This is where you carried me, and there's only supposed to be one set. But there's a rut going along here. And the Lord said, that's where you came kicking and screaming, and I had to drag you. Don't kick and scream against God. He's there for you to protect you and to provide for you and to be God Almighty. And he does it through the Spirit right now. Don't lose track of that. Jesus Christ in the natural, in the physical, if you will, was born. He was here for 33 years, but he's at the right hand of the Father. He has sent, thank God that he's been, he sent the Holy Spirit, which is Spirit, God's Spirit, to live within you. Thank you, Lord. He'll never leave you or forsake you. That means he's always there, and he's there through every situation you're in. He is your shepherd. He reveals himself as that, and that is what you need to understand about him. He is Jehovah Jireh, or Jireh in English. Jehovah Jireh, or Jireh, and it means the Lord shall provide. Needless to say, we're deeply needy people. I don't know about you. My wife tells me that every so often. Oh, you're so needy. She's not. You know, but I am. I admit it. There's times when I'm just needy. And sometimes we need emotional support. How many in here have never needed emotional support? Don't anybody raise their hand. We need that emotional and physical support sometimes. We're needy people. We need financial help. Think of the world we live in. We need physical aid. We need provision. We need an emergency room. My wife's an emergency room nurse. There she is. She represents God. She can be the hands and feet of Jesus. Don't sit there on a rock saying, well, God's going to come and heal me and refuse to go to the emergency room as your aorta has opened up and you're bleeding profusely. Yes, God can instantly heal you if he decides to do that, but he says, I got an emergency room nurse over there who knows me very well. Go over there and get stitched up. I mean, we got to remember that we represent God on earth. As it is in heaven, so it be on earth. God does use doctors and nurses to perform healing. He can use a handkerchief. He can just say the word and it be done. He can dunk in water. He can spit in clay and put it on your eyes. He's done it many different ways. Don't put God in a box. Healing comes in a variety of ways. And it comes when he wants to do it. But Lazarus needed to be raised from the dead at the time he really would have liked to have been raised from the dead. It wasn't the time that God decided to raise him from the dead. But he did do it 3 days later when he stinketh. The point is that God can do anything, and even though your physical body may die, you don't. Not who you are. He's Jehovah Jireh, or Jireh. He provides for you and always will. In such times, we can approach Jehovah Jireh on the throne of grace. Sometimes, all you can plead is grace. You've screwed up. You've done it. You deserve those circumstances. And sometimes God goes, yes, you do, and here they come. But he has a throne of grace. But you don't get what you do deserve, right? And there's times when he says, you know what? I think they've learned that lesson. I don't know what goes through the mind of God when that happens. But there are times when you know you've done something really, really dumb or stupid or rebellious or whatever it is, and you didn't receive a circumstance, and you're going, thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. It's always there for salvation to come home to be with Christ. But while we're down here and we're going through circumstances, sometimes it's a little slow in the draw because we have to go through some things in order to learn some things, to become refined, and for our mind to be refined as well. So, we can call him that. He's the God who provides. He's also Jehovah Rapha. We demonstrated that today in our healing and over the handkerchief that Aaron is going home with. He is the Lord who heals. That's what it means, Jehovah Rapha. He's the Lord, our physician. And as a physician, he has a remedy for those things that ail us. He is the chief physician. But just like you have a doctor in the room when you go in the natural to have surgery and stuff like that, he's not there all by himself. He has helpers. They're called nurses. And thank God for anesthesiologists. Because if we didn't have them, we'd be in trouble. You'd be watching everything they were doing and hurting at the same time. Well, God is the same way. He can choose to heal you supernaturally, or he can use his helpers. And folks, every one of us, if we call ourselves a Christian, is a helper unto God. We're part of his army. We're actually soldiers to do warfare for people who need deliverance. We're actually healers for those who need healing. You know, we're part of the covenant of what Jesus made with us. Jesus came and he healed and he came and he delivered and he said, go and do likewise. There's more of you now. You have the church. Greater works you shall do. That didn't mean greater, like greater than raising people from the dead. It meant greater numbers of works. Greater things you will do because I go to the Father. Meaning, now the Holy Spirit will be in each believer. You will be spread out across the world. There will be greater works because there are a greater number of you to do those works. He's the Lord our God, our healer. Don't put him in a box and don't think he has to heal you in a certain way. Go down and wash in the Jordan 7 times. And what was the name of that guy who did that? Anybody remember? Come on, I've taught you better than that. I'm forgetting myself. But anyway, Naaman? No, it wasn't Naaman. But whoever it was, Elijah told him, go wash, maybe it wasn't even Elijah, and go wash 7 times in the Jordan. He said, well, I've been in the Jordan so many times. Why should I go wash in the Jordan 7 times? God's going to heal me by dipping myself in the water 7 times? That's kind of silly. And what did he say? You better listen, pretty much in paraphrasing. Go wash 7 times in the water. Oh, fine, I'll go wash. And he washed 7 times in the water and he came out and he was no longer leprous. What am I trying to say to you? God heals. But sometimes he heals in very mysterious ways. So don't question how he wants to heal you. Just when you hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit to do something, obey. And then just wait on God. He's Jehovah Rapha. Naaman. Thank you. It was Naaman. He was the leper that went down in there and said, I got better waters where I live than the Jordan. Why do I need to go down there and wash? And he probably just simply said, because God said so. How many of us have ever gotten those kinds of answers? We question God, and then what do we come back with? Because God said so. When our kids were growing up, well, why do we have to do that, Mom and Dad? Because we said so. Didn't need to give them an explanation. Do it. If you want the blessing. If you want the blessing. When Daddy speaks, we said that last week, right? Where to do what? Because Daddy rules the house. Daddy rules in his house. And he's our Abba Father, our loving Daddy, who loves us, loves us, loves us. And yeah, we have those wonderful times sitting on his lap, drinking a cup of coffee, and we hug and we play and we have these wonderful exchanges and we have peace and joy and stuff like that. But you know, our lives are led in certain ways where sometimes he's got to bring out the rod. And we have to be corrected, not for the purpose of hurting us, but for making us more into the image of who he is. He is our healer. But our ultimate healing is bound up with our glorified and resurrected bodies in heaven. Keep that in mind. He uses doctors, nurses, and medicines, but the glorified body that you're going to receive when you resurrect is our ultimate healing. Sooner or later, all of us will age and grow feeble, passing away from this earth. But he's promised us ageless, sickless, tearless bodies that we're going to enjoy throughout all of eternity. Hallelujah. That's our inheritance. Remember the prodigal? He wanted it all now. Give me all the inheritance now. He's like, I don't want to do that. No, but I want it all now. Because what's going to happen if we get it all now? We'll get complacent. We'll go out and we'll get into the world. We'll use it all. Yeah, we'll use, you know what I mean? There's things that God reveals to us, revelation and knowledge and understanding and healing. It comes with maturity. It comes as we begin to inherit more and more, as we're able to handle more and more, as He can trust us with more and more. So just remember that there's a process going on here. Just don't curse God every time that we have something going on that we don't like. He is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. What's a banner? You put up a banner to what? It represents it. It covers it. It announces what is to be. The Lord is our banner. He's on the mountaintop. Moses looked down on the banners. Remember the 12 tribes of Israel? Well, how did you know who was Reuben, who was Simeon, who was Judah, who was Levi, who was Issachar, who was all those, right? The 12 tribes, remember? Well, they had banners that they held over them, so it's kind of like when you go to a football jamboree or even a baseball jamboree, the coaches are holding up signs of where you're supposed to go and whose team you're supposed to be on. It represents this is your spot. This is who and where you will function. So Moses looked down, and they were waving these banners in the wind during the defeat of the Amalekites. He thought to himself, hey, the Lord is my identity. The Lord is my victory. The Lord is my banner. I can wave this banner like I can wave the United States of America flag. I wave it proudly. I don't burn it. I don't step on it. I don't disrespect it. I just come underneath the authority of my governing structures. Why? Maybe not because I want to or like to, but it's because it's what the Word of God tells me I have to do. And I can wave that banner proudly because I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. It's still better here than you can go anywhere else. Wave your banner. It's proudly. Moses did it as they were defeating the Amalekites. He says, the Lord is my banner. So whenever you're facing your own battle, you can visualize God's banner above you, and that banner is God Himself. You can just wave your hand in praise and worship of God Almighty, saying, Father, thank you. Thank you for the victory. Thank you for what it is you need. You're my banner. You're my covering. He's called Jehovah Makadesh. It means the Lord who sanctifies. The Lord who sanctifies. That means you're going to get a good bath when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That word is going to wash you if you get yourself into a church, which is where you're supposed to be, and you get yourself with fellow Christians where you're supposed to be, so that they can encourage you and exhort you and reprove you at times and wash the clean and get off the rough edges and iron sharpening iron and getting off all of the world from yourself so that you can be starting to look like the child of God that you are. God sanctifies you. You get convicted and you obey. Well, and if you don't, you stay what? Filthy or dirty for a while. And so you walk around, you stink. You know, you're not losing your salvation. I'm not telling you you're doing that, but you stink it sometimes. You come up and your personality and who you are is that we don't want to be around you. Because you're not sanctified in that area. And I need you to be sanctified in that particular area. I need you to be kind to me right now. You're not being kind to me right now, so I'm going to push you. And that's what happens in life. We're to be sanctified. The key to the book of Leviticus, if you read that book of Leviticus, and it's a tougher read than some of the New Testament books, it's holiness. When you look at Leviticus, you see holiness. And as the chapters unfold, it becomes clear God wants His people to do what's right. And to do it in the right way. Not just do it right out of legalism, but do it in the right way. Let's look at it, Leviticus 20, 7 and 8. You shall consecrate yourselves. That means set yourselves apart, okay? You're calling yourself a Christian, look like one. Yeah. You're claiming to come to church and representing God, let me see it. I don't want to hear what you have to say to me. Show me. You say you love me? Show me that you love me. Faith without works is dead. Your speech without backing it up with your actions is... Translate that one. How do you write that down? Holiness. Doing what's right. You shall consecrate. Set yourselves apart, church. Let the world see that you're different so they have something to look forward to, that they want what you have. Right. Consecrate yourself, therefore, and be holy. In other words, do what's right regardless of the cost. For I'm the Lord your God. In other words, hey, if you know who I really am, and I've just covered that over the last 12 weeks, you're going to do what's right because you have a Father that's looking down on you and saying, I love you so much. Go out into the world and represent me well. Don't be like everybody else. It's easy to join the crowd. It's easy to enjoy the pleasures of this world. What flesh doesn't want to? What don't want we want to participate? It feels good to do a lot of things that are not good. Because that's what the flesh enjoys. And what he's trying to tell us is don't use your flesh for that purpose. You are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve him. Do the things that I ask you to do in here. And yes, people will shun you and you won't be so popular and you won't be going with the crowd and you'll be going upstream when everybody else is going downstream. But he says that remnant that's going upstream will go so high up, you're going to enjoy an eternity full of things that you could never enjoy on earth. It is worth it to strive and pursue for holiness. He declares you righteous. When you appear before him, he says, what sin? But we pursue holiness, meaning that we have to become what he's called us. He's cloaked us with that righteousness, but that righteousness has to go from the outside to get on the inside so that we express it freely from who we are. This is not fantasy. This is not just some book that was written for our enjoyment and just to sit there and read and go, oh, wow, you know. This is the real deal. This was transferred from generation to generation of truth that will bring forth blessing in your life if you obey it. But if it's just a good read, if it's just knowledge, you play golf, have fun, go party, do whatever you need to do. This is life. And it will be more abundantly for you, though you may not necessarily see it now. Why? Because you're living in these carcasses. They're called sark sacks. It's a physical body to relate to this world. And you have to somehow divorce yourself from being fully absorbed in this and be able to take your role as a spirit, as a soul, as a one who is connected with the Father. By faith, knowing that the Word of God is true and that these eyewitnesses that have given you this truth, which is not that many generations ago, I can go back to my great-great-grandfather. I can go back to the early 1800s and remember back that far of what they did. So going back another, 1,700 years, whatever, when Jesus walked, there's eyewitnesses. But they saw him resurrect. They saw others resurrect after he resurrected. They were telling us of what happened during that time. You know, faith is not so hard when you know that it's been written and it's transcended the ages and it's a book that's made it when other books haven't.
That's right.
Why? Because God preserved it. He's God. He is the God. Well, you shall keep my statutes and what? That's a good word. None of us have arrived yet, right? A lot of us are still practicing his statutes. You're a good 6 days, and that seventh day, you kick yourself in the pants because you messed up. Praise God for the cross and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. We're practicing them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. That means sanctifies is an ongoing process. You are a work in progress. Do not condemn yourselves. When you feel something that you need to do and you're going, oh, gosh darn it, it's not to condemn you. It's to convict you.
Right.
It's to show you a better way. Take the high road. That's the Makadesh that we serve, who makes holy, the God who sets apart for himself and perfects that which concerns us. He will one day perfect us. Until that, you're not perfect. He is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord who is our peace. That's a good one. Let's read that. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. We're almost done. Be anxious for nothing. Well, that's a little bit harder to do. We read it all the time, but how many of you know, did anybody struggle with being anxious at times? And so he tells us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, and that means when you're praying, you're believing. Why? Because you're giving thanksgiving. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. In other words, with thanksgiving, you're asking, and you really don't know what the answer is coming back yet is, because you're in 3D. You're not God. You're not all-knowing, right? But he's telling you in advance, give thanks. That means God is not trying to mess around with our head. It means if we're giving thanks before we ever ask, that God already plans for his own children to bless them. With that answer. As long as we're not running around in rebellion, he's got to teach us those lessons, and it gets back to what we just talked about before. But if we're given thanksgiving in advance, we should know. And he says, if we'll do that, if we'll give thanks as we're asking, knowing that God is who he says he is, because we've studied him, and we know he's a God who wants to bless his children. He's not some God up there who wants to kill his children. He wants to bless us. It says, if you'll do that, the peace of God, which surpasses what you could ever even begin to think about, comprehend, it'll guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. What will guard your heart in Christ Jesus is stuff that you don't understand. So where's it going to come from? The Holy Spirit that lives within you. He's able to do that. He's Jehovah Shalom. Peace. He's Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord who is righteous. Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6. What does that mean? Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. People who do right. You know, let's not complicate the word, right? You're doing right. You're righteous. And he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. That means he's going to do what's right in the land. And in his days, Judah's going to be saved. And Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord, our righteousness. Why? Because that is his nature and character. To do what's right. And what's my favorite saying? Do what's right regardless of the cost. And sometimes it will cost you dearly. It'll cost you a friend. It'll cost you a night out. It'll cost you money. It'll cost you... Do what's right regardless of the cost. And you'll start walking in God's blessings beyond what you could imagine. You can rest in his righteous power. And finally, Jehovah Shema. That means the Lord who is there. Remember he said, I am that I am? Moses said, what's your name? I am that I am. I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. I can be everywhere. Why? Because he's spirit. He doesn't have bodily form like we do right now. He's spirit, so he can be everywhere at the same time. Wrap your brain around that. You won't, and you never will. Till you get up to heaven, maybe. God reveals things to you that you don't know down here. But as Shema, the God who is there, when you pray, you can address your Heavenly Father as Jehovah Shema, saying, God, I know you're there. You're near me, you're with me, and you're ever-present. Whatever our situation, we have a God who can know. Listen, whatever our situation, we have a God we can know, and we must keep growing in the knowledge of the God who loves us and the one that we worship. We're not doing a religious exercise in here. You're not burning your calories this morning. You're not coming in here because, you know what, I'm going to feel better because I've been to church today. That's not why you show up. We're here to acknowledge who he is and worship him for who he is and worship him in spirit, meaning that you're getting out of your flesh. You're not worried about the guy who's raising his hand or laying on his face or falling down like Teresa did or that or judging whether we have flags or a cross or a picture behind that or if we have things up on the stage or not on the stage or who's going to be playing music or who's not. And if you're thinking about all that kind of stuff, you're not in the spirit. You should be connecting with God, and you should be worshiping him for who he is. And you got people beside you doing the same thing so that there's a chorus of those of us that are worshiping him in spirit. And of course, we should need to worship him in truth. We need to be calling him names that he is, not names that he's not.
That's right.
Don't call him any bad names. You'd call him the wrong person bad names if you call God bad names. You call him who he is. You acknowledge him for who he is. You give thanks. You praise him. You worship him, because in the end result, you're going to inherit the... everything. Why everything? Because he's got everything. The greatest question we face isn't, does God exist? It's, how well do I know the God who does exist? Last scripture, Philippians 3:10. That I may know him. That's what this series has been about. That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection. Oh, there's so much more, folks. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Ikes? You mean we're supposed to identify with how he suffered? We may be ridiculed. We may be persecuted. We may be locked up. We may be... Yeah. In the United States, hard to... Well, it's getting easier to believe. But there's places where there's underground churches because they'll be killed if they pick up a Bible. Can you relate to his sufferings? Can you relate to the power of his resurrection? Have you ever gone up to someone, laid hands on them, and said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, be healed? And it happened.
Right.
Maybe not now. Maybe 100 times from now. But you keep doing it. Why? Because the Word of God says we can. But ultimately, it's God who does the healing, so you know what? You do your part and you let him do his. Being conformed to his death. What does that mean? We have to die to self. We have to know that we've been bought with a price. What does that mean? That means Jesus Christ died and shed his blood and applied it onto the very throne of God. And he says, when you look at them, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But you know what? We can give them instruction on what to do. They don't know what they're doing right now, but forgive them, and let's give them the Holy Spirit to give them a guideline as to what to do. We forget that part. So I conclude this series by reminding you of the awesome attributes of God we've been studying over the past 12 weeks, and here they are. God is holy, God is faithful, God is eternal, God is changeless, God is powerful, God is good, God is all-knowing, God is sovereign, God is ever-present, and God is loving. And I tell you to meditate upon these truths and grow in your knowledge of Almighty God. It will promote an intimate relationship with the one who is your daddy. There's nothing better than you can pursue in life than knowing your daddy.